I have been asked by your elder to do a study of Daniel chapter 9. Mr. Sinapan did a good job of it, but he did not have much time, so that he did not have time enough to cover the last part of chapter 9 with reference to the vision of the 70 weeks. From the looks of it, I think I will face the same problem today, because I think I have very little time left with me. Whatever, I'll try my best, and if I cannot finish, you can always have two options. One option is to go to my website, beritabethelang-betweenthewords.com, and you can download what I said now, the notes that you have in your hands, as well as the PowerPoint that you are going to see. All that will be in my website from Monday onwards. Otherwise, you will also have the opportunity to listen to a full study of it when I did the same portion in Sungai Nibong Gospel Hall. So I'm also putting that message, that study, onto the website for you to compare from Sungai Nibong Gospel Hall and now in Sungai Ara Gospel Hall. So, without wasting any more time, I think we shall go straight into it. Very quickly, we are going to go through Daniel chapter 9. Now, this is a Bible study, a very serious Bible study. So you need to look at every verse in the chapter. So I suggest that you open your Bible to Daniel chapter 9 and follow me. And we are going to pay attention later on to a very complicated prophecy on Daniel's vision of the 70 weeks. A quick recapitulation. You have already finished studying Daniel chapters 2 and 7, and I call that the beauty and the beasts. Then in chapter 8, the battle of the beasts. Now, just to refresh your memory, may I recall to you that chapter 2 of Daniel would be considering the beauty. You see a beautiful image of that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream, a gigantic image, majestic, beautiful. That's why I call it the beauty. And actually, it is a prophecy of world empires to come. The head of the image would represent Nebuchadnezzar. We read in the Daniel chapter 2 itself that Daniel said, "Thou, O king, art the head." That's the golden head which would represent the empire of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian empire. Then you have the two shoulders of silver, which would represent the Medo-Persian empire that came after the Babylonian empire. Then you would have also the body and the thighs of bronze or brass that would represent the Grecian empire, and you remember the iron legs would represent the Roman empire. Then at the feet will be the 10 toes that would represent the 10 future kingdoms to come. And so, and after that, you would see a stone carved up from nowhere, coming down and crushing the whole image. Now, this image is the history of the empires of the world. And it has come to pass. It is a fact now. It has been proved. This was written before the empires were in existence. And today, we can look back and we can prove the validity of this prophecy. Now, come the chapter 7. In chapter 7, Daniel saw a vision of four beasts coming out from the sea. Now, actually, this vision of the four beasts is the same as the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw. Just as that image would represent the four world empires in history, the four beasts would represent the same four empires in history: Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. The lion and the eagle's wings, Babylon. The bear, two shoulders, one shoulder higher than the other, Medo-Persia, with the Persian Empire stronger than the Medes. Then the leopard with four wings, Grecian Empire, Alexander the Great, conquering the lands very, very fast. And then a fearsome animal, which is indescribable. And that represented Rome and the future kingdom to come that has not yet come. All right. Why does God give the same vision as parallel to the image seen by Nebuchadnezzar? One, majestic, beautiful. The other one, fearsome and horrible. Chapter 2, you will see from man's viewpoint. The world's history and empires, strong and majestic. The second vision is God's viewpoint. And God would see all these world empires as beasts. We have no time to go into it. Alright. Chapter 8, God zoomed in into two of the world empires. There was the battle between the ram with two horns and the goat with one horn. Now the ram with two horns again would be the Medo-Persian Empire. And it's specifically interpreted for us in Daniel chapter 8. Then you have the goat with one horn. And that horn would be Alexander the Great, coming out from the Grecian Empire. Now, you must not be mistaken about the horn that is described in Daniel chapter 7, chapter 8. In chapter 8, out of this goat, there came a horn. This is called a notable horn. That notable horn would be Alexander the Great, who led the Greeks into conquest very, very fast, and within 3 years, he more or less became the leader of the world, the empire at that time, biggest empire. But Alexander died very, very fast, very early, very young, at about 33 years old. And therefore, that bone, we read, was broken. When the bone was broken, four other horns came out. Now, these four horns would represent the four generals who inherited the kingdom of Alexander the Great because he had no heir. Now, out of these four horns, there came out a little horn. A little horn. Now, this little horn in chapter 8 must not be mistaken with the little horn in chapter 7. Because the little horn that came out from chapter 8 came out from one of the four horns, the Syrian horn. He was from Syria. And last week, I think you heard about Antiochus Epiphanes. He would be Antiochus Epiphanes. Whereas the little horn in chapter 7 came up from the ten horns, from the fierce animal. So, two horns are different. The little horn in chapter 7 has to do with Antichrist that is coming. And this little horn has not been fulfilled yet. But the little horn in chapter 8 has been fulfilled already. Alright, so you must not mistaken the notable horn, the great horn, the little horn, and the little horn in chapter 7 and chapter 8. Right, then you must also be clear about the prince that is coming in chapter 9 of Daniel. Chapter 9, you read of two princes, Messiah the prince and the coming prince, the prince of the people. Messiah the prince would be the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah. The coming prince would be the general who would come to destroy Jerusalem. So, yeah, two different princes. All right. Now, let's go straight into the study of Daniel chapter 9. Very quickly, I don't have time to refer to all the verses. You are supposed to know the verses already. So, as I refer to the verses offhand in my mind like that, as I talk, you just have a peek into your Bible and see that what I say is correct and I do not exaggerate. All right. Firstly, the preparation. This verse is important because it sets the date of the prophecy. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, in the first year of the reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books of the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Now, Daniel was reading scriptures. Daniel was reading Jeremiah. Jeremiah the prophet had prophesied to Israel, "Israel, you repent. If you don't repent, God will send Babylon to come and destroy you. And he will take you out of the land. And Jerusalem will become a desolation. It will remain like this for 70 years. And after that, Jeremiah prophesied, God will bring back the people of Israel into Jerusalem." Alright, so he was reading Daniel at that time. Let me give you the background behind it. What is all this about the 70 years and the desolations in Jerusalem? Well, firstly, let's consider this Judah setting. Israel, the nation of Israel, would be divided into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom would be known as Israel, actually, and the southern kingdom as Judah. Israel, the northern kingdom, because of the idolatry, was God punished them by allowing them to be taken into captivity in 722 BC in Assyria. Judah, the southern kingdom, did not learn their lesson. They also followed the ways of Israel, the northern kingdom. And God said, "All right, I will make sure that you also follow the same way and send you into captivity." And so Judah was sent into captivity for, God said, 70 years. More about that later on. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem under three stages. First one, second one, third one. 586 to 516 would be the third stage when finally Jerusalem was desolated, destroyed, razed to the ground, and people of Israel were taken into captivity in Babylon. But there was also that first stage when Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem, and that would be 606 BC. Now, Bible scholars differ as to how the 70 years should be calculated, from the first siege or the third siege. Whatever it is, there will be about 70 years when the children of Israel will be away from Jerusalem. I would take the stand of 606 to 536, the first siege of Jerusalem. Alright? So remember 606. Now, the first year of Darius, we read in chapter 9 and verse 1, would be roughly about 538 BC. Now, Darius was the king of the Medes in chapter 6. And remember, he saw a hand writing on the wall, meaning, "Minitekel Upharsin. You have been weighed and you are found wanting." And definitely after that, the kingdom would be conquered by the Persians. Now, Daniel was taken into Babylon, the first siege. You read of it in Daniel 1:3-7. Nebuchadnezzar took away all the bright and clever young people into Babylon, first stage. Now, that would be roughly about 536 BC. Now, when Darius, when Daniel was reading Darius, about him in Daniel 9 verse 1, that would be 538. Now, 538 from 536 would be about 2 more years to go. And he was now saying, look here. Now, remember, Daniel was taken into Babylon when he was a young teenager. And now it is about 70 years already, to be exact, 67 years. 67 years, Daniel had been in Babylon. And now it's coming to the term, the end of 70 years. So, God, you must keep your promise. You said that children of Israel will be taken into captivity away from the land for 70 years. Now it is the 68th or 67th year. Lord, it is time. Time you keep your promise and send us back to our land. Daniel studied Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 12 has this to say. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. It shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans. Remember, God was using an unbeliever. He was using a very cruel king to punish his holy people. God was in control. It looked like God was out of place and that the people of God were in suffering and God would not care. No, God cared. God sent an unbelieving people to come and to punish his own people. Today, we are at this stage, in this country even. And many Christians have been accused that we are not doing anything. We must do something in order to bring down the government. Because the government is so unfair and so unjustified. And so we must do something. We cannot leave it to God. God doesn't care. We must go and protest and so on. Look back in history. Look at the Berlin Wall. The Berlin Wall suddenly collapsed without the interference of other nations. Look at the bamboo curtain. The bamboo curtain also came down. Look at the Iron Curtain. The Soviet Union came down, and now we have got so many states. God worked at a time in his own timing, and in his own way. God is supreme and God is in control. Let us be aware of that. And so, Daniel read from Jeremiah, another place, chapter 29, verse 10 to 14. 29 then says, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return. 70 years you'll be out. After that, I will send you back. I will send you back. And so, this is the promise that Daniel had read from Jeremiah, and he was holding God to the promise. God, you must keep your promise. The prayer. And so we have that wonderful prayer in chapter 9. Verses 3 to 19, we see him praying. And I go through this very quickly because I think Mr. Snapman did quite a good job of it. Without referring to reading the verses, I will just refer to them. First, we already discovered Daniel's perception of Jeremiah's prophecy. Daniel's preparation. When he knew that it was time for God to work, what did he do? He prayed. And Christians need to pray at this particular time of our national crisis. Pray. He fasted. He put on sackcloth. And he said, I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth with ashes. He made a confession. Verses 4 to 19. How did he confess? He first identified himself with the Lord's people. He said, I have sinned. I have gone against your law, and so on. Before you can intercede for other people, make sure you are not a sinner first. You need to get rid of your sin first. So he, when he wanted to intercede, he made sure that he was right in relationship with God first. After the I, then he said, we, he identified himself with the people. We, as in not they, but we. You read that. Then he cried out, my God. He had that relationship with God. Then our God, he identified himself with his people. His confession of for his people. When he confessed, did he say, I have been telling my people to repent, they do not, and so on. No, he didn't say that. What did he say? He cried out, they have departed from the true path. God's person. Every time he addressed, he said, Lord, Lord, Lord. Sometimes in that passage, in that prayer, he cried out. He said, they have gone against his laws, in verse 5. They have gone against the prophets. In fact, verse 10 is a summary of all that he confessed. That they had dishonored God. They had disobeyed his law. And they had not heard the prophets. So, they deserved their punishment. They had sinned against God's person. He used the word very seriously. He used sin, iniquity, wickedness, rebellion leading to departure. He did not spare. They deserved the punishment to be sent out from Jerusalem into a foreign country for 70 years. They had disobeyed his voice. They had transgressed his law. They had rebelled against his person. This was the kind of people whom God had to punish and send out of Jerusalem to Babylon for 70 years. Now, Lord, they have been punished enough already. Send them back, please. His supplication continues. Lord, fulfill your promise. Because these people, this place, Jerusalem, is your place, your city. Verse 16 and verse 19 is thy city. The Israel is thy people. The temple, the sanctuary, is thy sanctuary. Lord, you must do it. It is your possessions. All these are yours. Your people, your city, your temple. Preserve it. And it's done, O Lord, for your sake. For God's person. For his sake. For his own person's sake. His own glory. Lord, maintain that glory and bring the people back to show that what you had promised was true. Right, now we come to the voice, the prophecy. The voice in answer to the supplication, 9:20-23. God quickly sent an angel, Gabriel, the best of his angelic staff, to answer his questions. And Gabriel came and said, God had sent me. The very moment you cried out, God did not even wait for Daniel's prayer to be completed. The moment Daniel opened his mouth, God sent the angel. And the angel was on the way until he reached Daniel and to confirm with him what God was going to do. The answer to his appeal, verses 22-23. Now, come the vision of the prophecy of the 70 weeks. Verses 24-27, this is a very, very difficult and a very controversial passage. And we need to go into it slowly, and you need to think, because there's a lot of mathematics to be done, and a lot of calculation, and you need to follow me step by step, otherwise you will get lost. The prophecy 24-27 involve thy people, thy holy city. Now that's very important. In interpreting scripture, we must look at the context. We must look to whom that passage is written. And definitely it is to thy people, and it involves thy holy city. Who are thy people? The Jews, Israel. So, do not bring in the church as the fulfillment of this prophecy. The church is not there. The church had also not been found there, had not been born yet, so to speak. Holy city, it involved Jerusalem. Two important things that we must consider with regard to the context of the prophecy. Right. Let us read the prophecy. 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city. Know and understand. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. After those 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and will have nothing. And until the end, there will be war, desolations are decreed. Let us analyze this prophecy. Very important we understand. Know and understand. Number one, context is about the Jews, not Christians, not the church. It's about your holy city, Jerusalem, not any other place. Know and understand this, that the 70 weeks is divided into three parts. First, 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Thank you very much, Mr. Ma. I need this. Seven weeks and 62 weeks. Then after those 62 weeks, the end. Alright? 70 weeks. 62 weeks. First week. Or 7 weeks. 7 weeks. First period. 62 weeks. Second period. 70th week. Three parts. We must understand these three parts. And after the 62 weeks, or plus 7 before that, there will be 69 weeks. After the 69 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off. Meaning, Jesus, the Messiah, will die. Cut off. And then, after that, comes the end. The end. Then things will happen when there will be war and desolations again. Alright? So, this end, we must understand. When is this end? When this end comes about, then a few things will happen. To finish the transgression. In other words, Israel's sins will all be forgiven. Romans 11:26-27. Their sins will be all forgiven and God will take them back. There will be the end of the apostasy of the Jews. To make an end of sins, to seal up sin, and God will judge it finally, and there will come Jeremiah 31-34, when God says in his new covenant that he is going to make with Israel and Judah, that all their sins will be forgiven. All their sins will be forgiven. The past and everything else, all forgiven. In the new covenant that he's going to make with them. To make reconciliation for iniquity, their sins will be covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what happened. Zechariah chapter 12 verse 10. When they see Jesus coming in the air, they will look on him whom they have pierced, and they shall repent, and God will take them in. That will be the end period when these things will happen. To bring in everlasting righteousness, when righteousness will reign in the kingdom. Again, when the new covenant takes place in Jeremiah chapter 23. To seal up the vision, to set God's seal fulfillment for the people and the land. Daniel chapter 12 verse 4 is interesting, because it says that, or Daniel was told, seal up this prophecy. In other words, after the prophecy of Daniel was given, the prophecy was sealed. It would no more be operative until the end. Then it will come up again. So there seemed to be a period when the prophecy will not take place, will not be fulfilled. The prophecy will be sealed until the end. And how do you know the end? When there is knowledge and increase in knowledge. I'll talk about that as we go on. Lastly, to anoint the most holy. When the temple will be set up. Today, there is no temple in Jerusalem. Since Daniel's time, no temple in Jerusalem. It had been, the prophecy had been sealed. But the time is coming when Jesus Christ will take up the church in the rapture. And after that, a millennial temple will be built. Then that temple will be used for Israel. All right. Let's go back quickly. The 70 weeks. 70 weeks are determined. 70 weeks. What are the weeks? Are we referring to the weeks of 7 days? Now, if you refer to the weeks of 7 days, 70 weeks from the time, 606 or 536, whatever it is, nothing happened. Nothing happened. So, actually, this word weeks is not there. It has been put in by the translators. It is the Greek word, the Hebrew word, heptah, and it means sevens. 70 sevens. That's all. No unit is specified. Whether it's years or months or days, not specified. 70 sevens. Then what unit should we use? How do we know? All right. 70 weeks means 70 groups of seven. That will be 490 units. In the midst of the week, let's understand the terms first now, will be 3.5 units. Now, 3.5, what can we understand? In Revelation chapter 11, verse 2, we are told that Jerusalem will be given to the government of the Gentile nations for 3.5 years or 42 months. Exact word, 42 months. Now, for 2 months, divided by 12, 3.5 years. Right? This is again confirmed in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 5 about the Antichrist, the first beast that will come in and he will be in control for 42 months. Then again, chapter 11, verse 3 of Revelation, we read that the two witnesses will be witnessing for 1,260 days. 1,260 days. And chapter 12, verse 6 also mentioned about 1,260 days. Now, apparently, the 3.5 years and the 42 months and the 1,260 days all refer to the same period. So they must be the same, equivalent. So now we know what the units can be. Again, 3.5 units, therefore, will be 3.5 years. Because 70 weeks, 70 times 7, will be 490 units. And let us say that they are years. And if they are years, what happens? This can also be confirmed that it is so in Daniel 7:25, where we read that of a time and half a time. What is meant by a time and half a time when the little horn will be in control? In Hebrew language, a time is singular. Times is a dual. In English, we have only singular and plural. One is singular, two and more is plural. In Hebrew grammar, one is singular, Two is dual. Three and more is plural. The time, singular. Times, dual. Half a time. Three and a half. All right? So all refer to the same period when Antichrist will be in control, when the two witnesses will go and preach, and when Jerusalem will be under the control of the nations, all during the 3.5 years or 3.5 weeks. Now, let's calculate now. The 70 weeks will start from the restoration of Jerusalem in troublous times, when the commandment is given. Okay. Remember the first one, 7 weeks plus 62. And during these two periods, there will be a restoration of Jerusalem in troublous times. What happened? During that period, from 536, that's about time of the last, up to 516, King Cyrus, again, is a special person. He was named 150 years before he came to be born. 150 years. You read about it in Isaiah chapter 44, verses 1 to 4. God called his name Cyrus before he was born, 150 years before he came to this world. And God said he was God's anointed, and he will send Cyrus to send the people back to build the temple. And that happened in 536 under Ezra and Zerubbabel. But it was disturbed by the enemies, and it was suspended, and it took 20 years from 536 to 516 under the reign of Darius before it was completed. So Jerusalem was restored in troublous times. The walls again were destroyed in Nehemiah chapter 1. And we find that when Nehemiah chapter 1 saw the walls, he cried because the walls of Jerusalem were still broken. And the walls were rebuilt in 444 or 445 BC under King Artaxerxes. Alright, so the first two periods, the 69 weeks, would be fulfilled during this period, because that was the time when Jerusalem was restored in troublous times. Alright. After the 69 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. There was the rejection and the crucifixion of the Messiah, the prince. The people of the prince shall come. That will be the destruction of Jerusalem again under the coming prince, Titus. Alright, in 70 AD, the Roman Emperor Titus came. So, this prince that shall come is different from the Messiah, the prince. This prince that shall come in 70 AD, and this is already proof, General Titus, destroyed Jerusalem, raised it to the ground, and today we still do not have Jerusalem. And we are waiting for the time for it to be restored. Alright? Since that time, the Jews have been scattered all over the world. Desolations are determined. And so, the Jews had no more temple. The Jews were scattered all over the world since 70 AD until now. Now, all this part of the prophecy had been fulfilled to the letter. So, we need to calculate the 69 weeks. Firstly, we need to know the commencement. When will it start? It says, from the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. The end will be when until Messiah the Prince. So 69 weeks, 70 weeks, so sorry, 69 weeks from the command to restore and build Jerusalem, until the Messiah, the Prince, shall come. 69 weeks. After 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off. That will be the 69 weeks. After 69 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. Please note the word after. After the 69 weeks, Messiah will die. That's very important, that word after. Alright. From what we know of history, roughly, the first one, Ezra 1-3, when Cyrus gave the command, the decree, for the people to go to back to Jerusalem, that was to build a temple. It is not to build a wall, but to build Jerusalem. So that could not be the decree. Ezra 4:24 could not be also, because it was Darius confirming the decree. So nothing. Ezra 7:8, you have another one by Artaxerxes, that was only to confirm the administration of Jerusalem. The actual decree for the people to go there and build the walls of Jerusalem would be Nehemiah. And that would be 444 BC. Now, Bible scholars differ a bit as to whether it's 444 or 445. Now, there will be a difference in the years, all right, because of uncertainty. But that does not matter, I shall explain later on. All right. So, which decree could it be? It could not be the one by Cyrus, because that was to rebuild the temple. It could not be the one by Artaxerxes, because that was to reinforce. And if you count also, all right, 457 BC, sorry, the temple was, Artaxerxes gave the decree in 457. 69 years, 69 weeks would be 483 years. 483 minus 457 will be 8026. 8026, nothing happened. Alright, to be more exact, you must plus 1. Why plus 1? Because from BC to AD, no 1. 0, no 0. So you just have plus 1. AD 27, nothing happened. So it could not be any of these decrees. Artaxerxes, Nehemiah, 445 BC. 445, taken away from 483, the 69 weeks, 483, will be AD 38. AD 38, nothing. So if you follow this order, nothing. Nothing happened. No event that we could point to. And that's why many Bible scholars following this just say, what's so special about this prophecy? Not important at all. Nothing. Alright. So Robert Anderson came up with this calculation. And let's see how he calculated it. You can read about it. It's complicated, but it's very interesting. The Coming Prince by Sir Robert Anderson. He works on the principle that one prophetic year is 360 days. Now, there's nothing strange, because we Chinese, we also believe that one year is 360, and we have 13 months in order to make up for the extra days. All right? So, in the Bible, a prophetic year is 360, and we are going to prove that. 3.5 years will be 42 months. All of you know that. 1260 days, already proved just now. Now, how do we get 42 months from 1260 days? By dividing 1260 by 30 and get 42. Now, do we have text, the Bible, to prove to us that indeed 1 month can be 30 days? Genesis chapter 8 verse 4, we are told that the flood abated and the ark rested on Mount Ararat on the 17th day of the 7 months. We are told in Genesis 7:11 that the ark and the flood came down on the 17th day, 2nd month. So that means the flood was on the earth for 150 days, and that's what it says in 7:11, Genesis 8:3. Genesis 8:3 declares very clearly that the flood was on the earth for 150 days. 150 days, therefore, will be 5 times 30, 5 months. 5 months. Therefore, here is the Bible text to prove that 1 month is equal to 30 days. Now, with that understanding, Sir Robert Anderson went further to interpret the prophecy. Therefore, from 20th year of Artaxerxes to 14 March 445 BC, to Christ's triumphant entry, through much calculation, he proved that the Lord's entry into Jerusalem, Palm Sunday, was on 6 April 32 AD. Now, of course, some of these dates are questioned by certain commentators. But whatever it is, the principle is there. I'd just like you to understand. 20th year of Artaxerxes, when the decree was given to build the walls of Jerusalem under Nehemiah, it was 14th March 445. To Christ's triumphant entry will be 6 April 32. And through this, to some calculation that 1 month is 30 days, he came on to the conclusion that that period will be 173,880 days. How did it come about? How did that conclusion come about? 445 BC plus 32 AD is 477. And you must minus 1 for the transference between BC to AD. So minus 1 will be 476. 476 times our days, 365, will be 173,740 days. 14th March to 6th April, because 14th March, it would start 6th April, the end. 14th March to 6th April, 14th March means 14th to 31st March, alright? And then 6th April means 1st to 6th April, okay? So, you plus that, 14th March to 31st April, will be 18, 1st to 6th April will be 6, 18 plus 6, 24. Hope my mathematics is correct. Alright? So, with that, you get number of leap years in between, because we were using 365 days only. So, there will be leap years. So, the leap years in between that period will be 116 days. Total 173,880 days. So, from the decree that Jerusalem will be restored to the time Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday will be 173,880 days, same as prophesied in Daniel chapter 9, before the event happened. Divided by 3, by 360, you get 483. 483 years, 69 weeks. Okay? Alright. Now, at this point, I must explain again. What happened to the 70th week? That would be 69 weeks. Then what about the 70th week? Now, in between the 69 weeks and the 70th week, there is a gap. There is a gap in between. And this gap is now, this period. It is the period of the church age, which is indefinite. Alright? This is what... Sorry. Alright? That will be the church age. Sorry, what? Alright. I want to emphasize at this point that if you study up other commentators, Bible commentators and so on, some of the dates may be different from 1 or 2 years or so on. Now, as to the exact date in history and the exact date as advocated in the scriptures, some differ. Now, if they differ not because of the inaccuracy of scriptural prophecy, they differ because of the inadequacy of human research. Because today, we rate dates according to archaeological findings and so on, and they keep on changing. Alright? But be sure that this prophecy, the Bible, is still a prophetic book. Now, remember I told you, between 69th week and the 70th week, there is a gap. This gap is known as the church parenthesis, the church gap. We are in this period now. This period. The Bible, Old Testament prophets did not see. The Old Testament prophet saw only two hills, two mountain tops. They did not see the valley in between. And when they saw the two mountain tops, they saw in one line. And they could not see that there was a big valley. And they thought that the second mountain would come immediately after the first mountain. And that's why we read that the prophets of old, they prophesied of Christ's sufferings and the glory should follow. They did not predict the church in between. So that's the result. So they did not see the church. That church age now is between 69th and the 70th week. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. After that will be the 70th week. You will note that Christ, the Messiah, was crucified after the 69th week. Remember the word after. And after his entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, Jesus, Messiah, the prince, was cut off. And then the 70th week has that gap in between has come about when Jesus ascended up into heaven and the Holy Spirit came down to install to give birth to the church. Then until the church goes up, the 70th week will not take place. When the 70th week take place, what will happen? First 3.5 years, there will be a covenant made between Israel and Antichrist. The second part, in the middle of the 3.5 years, in the middle of the 70th week, he will break the covenant. And in the second part of that week, he will identify himself as the Antichrist, and he will bring about great persecution upon Israel. And that is what is known as the great persecution in Matthew 24:21, that has never come before and that will never come again upon the earth. So that's the meaning of the 3.5 years. So that week will come and it will bring about the end. And if you read the references there, as I told you, it's very interesting that the prophecies have to do with the end times, when everything will be brought to end. Daniel 12:4 is interesting. If you can flip and look at it, it says that Daniel is to seal this prophecy in Daniel until the end, when there shall be an increase in knowledge and when there shall be people running to and fro. And this is the time. This is the time in history when a lot of things will run to and fro. Not only vehicular traffic, but also internet and so on. To and fro. And knowledge would increase. We are now very, very, very near the time of the end. Very, very near. Christ will come. And when Christ comes, then the whole prophecy will have been cut, will be completed. And then we shall also be with him in heaven. Alright, conclusion. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come to destroy but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no way pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy living and guidelines? And that's a challenge. We need to be aware of these things coming on. We need to be ready and we need to be compliant. May the Lord bless all of you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word, and we do pray that we may be made ready when the time comes, when the Lord will come and take us back into heaven with him. Lord, be with us in this study. We thank you for this detailed study of thy word and thy prophecy, and we are sure, O Lord, that it will come to pass one day. And although, Lord, human calculations and reckonings may make mistakes here and there, we know that with thee, there will be no mistake. We ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.